I think it was about a month ago, I was at an event, a social event, where there were around a little over 200 people that were gathered. And the comments that had been made prior to the closing prayer that I had been asked to offer were about our world and how bad things were in our world. The challenges that we have faced in our world. And as I was thinking about that, I thought much the same as when I hear that most every time I hear that mentioned. That may be true, but that's the biggest bunch of nonsense that Christians can ever contemplate. And so as I led the closing prayer, as I sat there contemplating the prayer, I thought, this is not how this is going to end. And I acknowledge those things are present. But my closing thought was this. This world may be dark, and this world may be chaotic. But the world God's people live in is beautiful. And maybe this is just a Book of Ricky thing. But I feel like we need a significant paradigm shift in our perspective about children of God in His world. And so my wife told me, you need to preach a sermon about that. And I gave some more thought to that. And I thought when all this stuff happened, what I'd do is I'd just shelve it. And I leave it for another time. But then I thought, no. If the world we live in as God's people is beautiful, then fooey with the electricity. But I'm not going to keep you 35 or 40 minutes. I want to give you four things why I think the world we live in is beautiful. There's no doubt that we should be readily aware that the prince of the power of darkness works actively in our world. You don't have to look too hard, too long, and be too bright to figure that out. And if we're a little slow in the uptake getting that, then just listen to people in the world talk about how they view the world. There are several statements throughout the Bible that kind of give us an insight into things. In 1 Peter 4, Peter said, they think it's strange that you run not the same access of right with them. Which means the norm for you for them was they'd run the same way the way of the world was, and now they think it's strange that you're not. In other words, the expectation of the world is you run in the path of darkness. They may not see it in darkness, but you run in the path of darkness. Jesus told his own disciples, you're going to live in this world, there's going to be much tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome. Now realize the tribulation he was telling his disciples they were going to live in was not 2021. But the concept of trials, that principle of difficulties in life, still are part of what we're challenged to overcome. And so we shouldn't be surprised that Paul would say, that if you want to avoid fornicators, drunkards, murderers, and covetous people altogether, you're going to have to go out of the world. Point? It's the norm of the world. Those are the norms of the world. And so we shouldn't be surprised that those things take place in the world. Because to escape them, we're going to have to go out of it. That's the expectation. When we wake in the morning, if we're looking at this world, we need to say, today I expect darkness. Because that's what we get. But while our feet are here, we don't live in this world. We live in a different world. And I realize that's a world we have to see by faith, but it is a different world. And there are four reasons the world we live in that I want to suggest, not all inclusive, just stimulate thought. Number one, because we are saved. The path we were walking was a dead end. The wages of sin are death. No exception. No qualification, no small print. Absolute. You want legalism? That's legalism. You sin, you die. No exceptions. But because we chose Him, He chose us. And in His tenderest of mercies, open a door of possibility that was absolutely unimaginable before. It is called mercy. Think about that. We were on a path that had a predictable end that was deserved. And mercy reached down and said, I'm going to give you a hand. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to grab this hand. I'm going to give you an opportunity to be saved. Right next to that is this world is special not only because we're saved, but 1B is because we are redeemed. Think about the insanity of this. And we've all taken the insane step. We sold ourselves to slavery. We sold ourselves to sin. I know that word slavery is a heinous word. But in all of its ugliness, think about this. Would you willingly, from a physical standpoint, sell yourself to slavery and all the brutality that came to slavery? Would you willingly do that? None of us would do that. But we've done it spiritually. We yielded ourselves openly and willingly to the master of darkness. And there's no way possible we could purchase our way out of that. But to be redeemed, there was a ransom price. But the ransom price was not silver and gold. The ransom price was blood. But not just any blood. Because blood of animals had been tried, that was not sufficient. It required the blood of a spotless lamb. And that spotless lamb could only come in the form of the Lamb of God, the Son of God. And strangest of all, He took people who performed the most insane consideration they could ever make to sell themselves to slavery and said, I'm going to purchase you who willingly did that with my blood. Would we do that? For people who are enemies? We might do that for our family. But not for people who are enemies. Not for people who willingly abandon us. But He redeemed us. Think about that. We have been bought again. Freed from the tyrannical master that is the prince of the power of darkness. Freed. That required of us a crucifixion of our will to be yielded to His will. Do we understand? Do we get this crucifixion? We have crucified our will and yielded it now to Him, that now His will is our will, no longer without a master, but now a master that is a master of love and grace. And we yield ourselves as servants to Him, not with eye service, not just when He's here with us, focusing His eyes on us, but as pleasing Him from the heart. People who have been saved and people who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ live in a beautiful, beautiful world. Number two, the world we live in is beautiful because we live among a community of believers. Noah mentioned in his lesson that with Christ forgiven, no one's alone. We sing, no one stands alone. Do we recognize the community that we have? The community of God's people, and that no one's alone? The disciples said, Lord, we've left it all. What do we get out of this? He said, now you have mothers, fathers, brothers, and sisters. There's no one that's a part of the community of God that does not have a relation. And it could equally have continued there to say, you have grandmothers and grandfathers. We all are part of a larger community called the family of God. Elijah, in that cave hiding, thought he was all alone. And the Lord said, get your eyes up, man. Look up. There are 7,000 people that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Listen, we need to stop the navel gazing. We need to start being blinded by the darkness that's around us, deceiving us that the world we live in is ugly and harmful. We live in a beautiful world because we have a community of God's people that are filled with mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, grandmothers and grandfathers. We have a community of people that no one's alone. And in that community of people, we have an elder brother who has let His beauty shine. So we sing, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all His wonderful passion and purity. May His spirit divine all my being refine. When somebody's unkind to you, some word spoken that pierces you through and through, think of how He was beguiled, spat upon and reviled. Lay your gifts at His feet, ever strive to keep sweet. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Where is that beauty seen? In that community of believers. We live in a beautiful world because we're not alone. There's not a one of us that hurts, but somebody else is there to put the salve of love on us to help dim the pain that is there. Because we all share a common Savior. Number three, the world will be beautiful because, pause.
Hallelujah. Now get to preach for 45 minutes.
Thank you, Anthony.
I'm on a roll here, man. I tell you what. Wonders never cease. Now I can stop shouting.
He was getting hoarse. The world we live in is beautiful because we live in a transformed world. We're not who we were. There's not one of us that have been bought and saved that are who we were. We've all been transformed. That word has been implanted in our hearts and in our minds, and we have been changed forever. We've been changed now to let, as the song I just quoted, let the beauty of Jesus be seen throughout everything that we do. You look at our lives, our walk has been changed. We walk differently. Our will has been changed. We determine differently. Our values have been changed. Our hopes have been changed. Our beliefs have been changed. Our dreams have been changed. Our purposes have been changed. Our character has been changed. We have been changed from the inside out. The impress of Jesus is on our hearts. And the impress of Satan is being burned out. And that new mind is being renewed day by day. We were raised new creatures with new minds. But now that new mind is continually being renewed. The implanted word is continuing to produce fruit in our lives. We've been changed. We've been transformed. We have been saved. We have been redeemed. We are a community of believers. We have been forever changed in our lives. And then fourth. Now listen closely, please. The world we live in is a world where every day is a bright sun. S-O-N. Shiny day. He's the light. And we walk in love. We walk in love. We walk watching our steps. We walk guarding our minds. Every day we live in His world is a bright sun shining day. Because His Spirit is reflected in us, and filled with that Spirit, we sing, we offer thanks, and we submit. And filled with that Spirit, we bear the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, long-suffering, self-control. People who bear the fruit of the Spirit are transformed people. Because people walking in the prince of the power of darkness world walk according to the flesh. That's a dead end. The people who are transformed and are part of His Son shiny day. Walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, which means the Spirit rules our thoughts, it rules our decisions, and the Spirit leads and guides us with that implanted word imprinted on our hearts, inscribing forever indelibly the truth of God that enlightens us in every circumstance of our life. You see, the world we live in is beautiful. It's not a dark world. The sun, S-O-N, is shining every day. So please, the next time somebody takes off on a diatribe of how bad everything is in this world, whether it's you or me that says that, or somebody in the world that says that, tell them, I sure am sorry you live in that world. Because that's not the world I live in. The world I live in is a really beautiful world. And by the way, you are welcome to my world. Because there's a sun that has shined and forever shines in my world. We get the choice. We get to choose our world. And we don't have to pass the days of our lives as sands drifting through the tide, sands of time. We can pass the days of our lives in a world that is bright because God is there, Jesus is there, and the Holy Spirit is there. And the thing that makes our world so bright and beautiful is because we get to be there with them. Now, if we are joined in fellowship because we are forgiven and redeemed and transformed and with a community of believers, every day with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, then let's ask ourselves a question. How's that a bad day? I don't care how your hair is fixed. How's that a bad day? All the world can be falling around everybody else, but not the world the child of God lives in. Because our world is a beautiful world. And so we often sing, beautiful thought to me, we shall forever be, thine in eternity. When from this world we're free, free from this toil and care, heavenly joys to share, let me cross over there. This is my prayer. Beautiful roads, beautiful land, beautiful home, beautiful man, beautiful crown shining so fair, beautiful mansions bright, gathers there. Aren't you glad? You can live in such a beautiful world. The one caveat. If I'm not recognized my soul's lostness and my own spiritual death, then that's not a beautiful world. If I had realized how lost I am, and my own spiritual sickness away from the sun who shines the light, this moment, your world can change. Because he said, I will gather you to me. And no man can have access to the Father except the Son sent me draw him. Every man that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. And those who hear and learn are so fully persuaded of his grace and mercy and power to redeem that it's irresistible to stand before him and say, I refuse your invitation of salvation. If there is a grace that says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and I know I'm lost, that is a shame if I choose to walk away. But it is a bright day when the sun says, come. And we choose him. Then he chooses us. If your world is not bright today, if your world is not beautiful today, you, I, need to choose. Because he's made the provision for everything in this world, in his world, to be beautiful. You want those beautiful robes? And once you come, always stand and always sing.